Welcome to episode 256 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so please be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents George, Sandy, and Elizabeth. We are also excited this week to welcome Tim Knight from G Adventures. Born and raised in Tallahassee, Florida, Tim developed a passion for adventure and a love for exploring the road less traveled through his experiences traveling as a child with his parents and through several extended backpacking trips in Europe and South and Central America. After college, he found his way to G Adventures and spent 3 years on the road as a chief experience officer for G Adventures in North America before moving his way up the ladder to where he is today, our sales rep.
Yay!
Hey, Tim is incredibly passionate about the great outdoors, protection of our natural spaces, and America's national parks, but is constantly drawn to the excitement of unfamiliar locales, cultures, and experiences of the world beyond our country's borders. Here at Outlander Travel, we've always been big fans of G Adventures, and because of their approach to travel, they take authentic experiences and local guides to get you to the heart of the destination. And that's why we're so excited when they partnered with National Geographic, and even more thrilled when they announced their family journeys. These tours are specially designed for families and children ages 7 and up. Tim is here to tell us all about it, so let's get started. Thanks so much for being here with us, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Absolutely. Hey, guys. Thanks so much for the invitation, and I'm super excited to be here. You know, it's so great to hear that you guys have this approach to travel and really feel that it has the potential to change the world for the better, because that's something that we've always believed in at G Adventures. So I'm excited to be able to work with you guys and hopefully get to share some of what we're passionate about and what we're really good at with your listeners.
So can we talk a little bit about G Adventures just as a company? We've actually talked about G Adventures on our podcast before, but just to review sort of who G Adventures is, how they started, and then sort of go into this partnership with National Geographic in general.
Yeah, absolutely. So G Adventures is an organization that's been around since the early 90s. We're actually a Canadian company. We were founded by a guy named Bruce Poontip in 1991. And Bruce's whole concept for this company was basically to figure out a way to allow people to experience the world in an authentic and immersive way, you know, with the safety and security that you get, from the structure of an organized group trip, but with the freedom and flexibility to explore on your own. So that was really the key philosophy. And as we've grown over the years, we've kind of taken that philosophy and blossomed it into a number of different travel styles. The idea being that no matter who you are and how you like to travel and how active you like to be or how old you are, that as long as you really want to go and connect with these destinations, there's a place for you and a trip for you at G Adventures. And so as we kind of developed, we really took on the role desire to operate all of this in a small group environment. So we never want the number of people that we're traveling with to impact our experience. We also want to allow people to define their own experience and to some degree how they spend their time and what they participate in. But the biggest thing that we've kind of developed is an overarching philosophy that everything that we're doing as we experience the world should be designed around positive impact. We want to, take all of the resources that we put into these trips and, the mentality of how we connect with these local peoples and even to some degree, you know, where we're traveling to around where can we have the biggest impact on these destinations and be able to lift up these people through the economics of the travel industry. And obviously, National Geographic is a big part of that. And so before we get in that, is there any questions or anything that you guys might want to ask about G Adventures in general? I hope that was a big enough overview.
I think in general, the trips, when you say small group, what does that mean?
Yeah, so we like to keep our trips mostly maxing out around 15 or 16 people. Some of our trips have maximum group sizes as small as 6, which is really, really great. We're not limited in terms of where we stay, how we travel, what we do, where we eat, like some of these other operators are if they're traveling with 50 or 60 people. Mm-hmm.
And then can you talk a little bit about how you connect? I mean, everybody wants to be responsible with tourism. We actually just did a podcast recently on responsible tourism and making sure that you're not being the tourist that comes in, uses the resources, and then leaves. Can you talk a little bit about ways that you do that very briefly?
Yeah, there's a number of ways that we do it, but the terminology and kind of vocab word that I would like to insert here is called intentional purchasing decisions, right? We're going to go to these places and we're going to spend our money on everything that we do when we travel, where we eat, where we stay, et cetera. And we just want to make sure that we stop and think about each of these places that we're using and where these dollars get spent. So specifically, there's a number of ways, right? We have our nonprofit arm Planetera that works with community development and kind of develops these small businesses. We also have what's called a ripple score on all of our tours. So we actually track the destination of each of these dollars that we spend in destination, make sure that they have the most impact possible. So it's very much measured and calculated, and you know, we sit down and look at every aspect of our trips with that regard, specifically with the economics of it.
I love that, because then you make sure that the locals are benefiting and not just like seeing them and then leave and they don't get anything out of it.
Well, and even
exactly
down to the ownership of where you're staying. You know, so many times we stay at a hotel and we don't realize that it's not owned by somebody who lives there. It's owned by somebody who lives in another country halfway around the world. And that's something that you guys pay attention to, correct?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. And actually, if you look at one of our trips, either, you know, however you're receiving this information, each of our trips will actually have a ripple score, and a big chunk of them are actually at 100, which means that we've tracked every dollar with every supplier that we use there, and all of those dollars stay in the local economies. It'll never end up back in the bank account of a multinational corporation or, you know, beyond those countries' borders, which is something that we're really proud of and something that we're hoping kind of pushes the industry forward.
One thing that really attracted me to this program was your G for Good project, your community projects that are highlighted in several of your tours. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That is Planetera. So Planetera is G Adventure's nonprofit arm. It's fully funded and backed by G Adventure, so there's no operating cost there. And the idea is that in all of these places that we travel, in the most kind of heavily trafficked routes or destinations, we've actually partnered and identified, you know, specific community needs, right? Where we can go in and allow these local communities, you know, the chance to set up these small businesses and to be able to, you know, deliver exactly what we need for each of our experiences. And then we bring all of the travelers that we're going to bring to that area to these small businesses and allow them to reap the benefits. So it's kind of a big circle of, you know, interconnectedness and making sure that, one, all of this money stays in local economies, but we can actually build up specific subsections of these economies and of these communities by, even on a very small scale, figuring out where exactly we're going to eat and stay and have, you know, local activities and experiences. So we're up to 78 of those now in a number of different countries, and we're hoping to reach 100 of them by the end of 2020.
Fantastic.
So with G Adventures, you talked about the travel styles a little bit earlier, and you basically offer everything from camping up to about 4-star, right? So as we move into National Geographic, we're talking 3 and 4-star, 4-star only. What's the travel style there?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great segue into the partnership with National Geographic as a whole, right? You know, one of the things that we've kind of found as we've developed as a company is that the people who were going on these experiences with us in the early 90s, be it more backpacking or rustic experiences like you're talking about, you know, they're a little bit older now. They like to still have, you know, these authentic experiences when they travel, but they're looking for a softer landing. And as you say, it doesn't necessarily have to be the full 5-star experience, but we're looking for upgraded accommodations, more of a slower pacing. And that's the direction that we're headed as a whole. So it's great that you talked about some of the different travel styles and all of the new innovations that we're working on these days, and everything that we're kind of rolling out is towards that level. So now we're looking at these, you know, upgraded wellness itineraries. We're looking at a lot of our different marine options for how we can kind of compete with the more luxury cruise operators that are out there. And specifically with National Geographic, that's really the focus, is making sure that, you know, while the accommodations aren't the ultra-lux $700 a night 5-star properties that they're super comfortable. I mean, we're shooting for 4-star. But because we take that philosophy of looking at local places and local service providers, you know, sometimes it's 3.5-star, but sometimes it's, you know, the nicest hotel in the country. It's all about what makes the most sense for that overall philosophy. So that's where I would put it, right? It's a 4-star rating that we're shooting for, but it's more important to us that we stay in a place where we're able to do that good and to benefit those economies.
One other thing that's really, that I find really appealing about your tours is that you hit on a lot of the touchstones that are really important to travelers nowadays. So you talked about the small groups, but also, can you talk a little bit more about the educational components? But that is one of the main requirements I get from my customers, my clients nowadays, is they want to be connected with culture and they want to be educated.
Absolutely. And so that's a great segue. We'll talk about National Geographic a little bit now. The National Geographic partnership with GE is something that began in 2015. And my favorite thing about that partnership is that they actually approached us at GE Adventures. They identified, you know, with our philosophy and with everything that we've discussed here thus far, and they asked us to develop a new product line for both our organization and theirs. National Geographic has always operated their travel styles, but the consistent thing there is that they've always been focused on the super luxury and the price tag that goes with us. And because of all those things that you just mentioned, right, the opportunities for education, the ability to connect more people with National Geographic and, you know, what they bring to the world in education and cultural exposure. And they wanted to open that up to a wider audience that can't afford, you know, the $80,000 around the world by private jet trip. And that's something that has been key throughout all of the development of these National Geographic experiences, that we want to connect people both with our philosophy of local impact and immersive experiences and connecting with local people, but with the, you know, added benefit of being able to incorporate National Geographic's personnel, their learning opportunities, you know, specific topics that have been extensively covered by the organization. And that's really what we're trying to accomplish here, especially with the new family version, right? We're trying to get these young families out there and encourage them to go and experience these parts of the world, you know, while their kids are still young and impressionable. We want to inspire the next generation of explorers to get out there and connect with these destinations and, you know, build more comprehensive citizens of the world. So again, yeah, thanks. That's a fantastic question. And I hope that kind of, you know, connected it to the overall purpose of the partnership.
I think that's what's so exciting for me. And, you know, I'm going to out myself as the oldest person on the podcast, although Sandy is just a little bit younger.
It's a couple
but
months.
But I remember as a kid seeing National Geographic. And I think this is something that, as a travel agent, you know, National Geographic has a name that we relate so much to. I mean, there's a whole lot of emotional connection
to that.
There's
a trust there too.
Yeah, I mean, this is back in the day when there were only 4 channels.
You're really dating yourself.
National Geographic is really important to me. And you know, just seeing the world open up on my televisions, that was so important. And then for a long time, National Geographic as a travel company has been inaccessible to most people because the price point is just so high. So when GE Adventures said, hey, we're partnering with National Geographic, it's very exciting because GE Adventures has always been a very affordable way to travel. Whichever style you choose, it's a very affordable way to travel. And then when you add National Geographic to that, there was that moment of, oh my gosh, what does this mean? Does this mean GE Adventures is going to get really expensive? But it didn't do that. It's sort of the opposite happened, where it was a way for National Geographic to be more accessible to people. And so this idea of now bringing children on these trips is super exciting. So can you talk a little bit about how your tours are changing to accommodate children as opposed to what your normal product is like? So this will give people a chance to hear both what the normal product is like and then what the difference is when kids come along.
Yeah, and exactly. And that's correct, right? The National Geographic product line for us was originally designed to connect North Americans with with the brand, just like you say, in a more affordable sort of arena. And we've had an incredible amount of success marketing kind of to that, you know, early retirees, maybe 50s and 60s and, you know, folks who want to go and have these experiences, but at a slower pace and at an affordable price point. But in the last year, we've really found that there's a huge opportunity to apply that same mentality to, you know, trips designed for families. So, you know, when we talk about adventure travel and small group adventure travel and small group escorted family adventure travel, well, with every adjective that we use there, the space gets smaller. And there's only a very few handful of operators that are operating in that space. And, you know, frankly, the others that are having success there only focus on that ultra luxury exclusive sort of price point and clientele. And we found that there was a really great opportunity to take that four-star mentality to, you know, this aspect of family travel. And so all of our National Geographic family itineraries are designed to be a little bit, you know, slower pace to be able to accommodate these children. You know, the accommodations that we've selected are great because they have the amenities and, you know, the ability to be flexible with rooming arrangements that families are looking for. You know, we went and selected specific restaurants and food suppliers that are able, you know, even in some of the world's far-flung destinations, to provide things like chicken nuggets and grilled cheese. And you know, so we've kind of taken every aspect there and with our philosophy just modified these itineraries to be a little bit more accessible to families. So the first 12 itineraries, and we're only operating 12 for the first year or so because we realize that this is a big leap for many people, right? We don't want to, you know, put all of our emphasis into operating 50 of these because we know that basically that, you know, it's going to take a minute for people to get adjusted to this style of travel. And we want people to not be overwhelmed by the number of choices, but we also want to make sure that we're able to sort of knock these out of the park from the very beginning. And so that's why, you know, National Geographic has been so involved and so, you know, sort of hands-on in the development of these trips. And I know that eventually we'll probably get to the different themes that we incorporate into these travels, but, you know, it's very much an overall and a comprehensive look that we've taken at what do these families need, you know, how can we tailor these experiences to be more accessible and engaging and, you know, attractive to families traveling with children as young as 7 years old, which is kind of the market that we're going for here.
So Sandy will camp. Lindsay and I just got off of river cruises that we absolutely loved. George loves a good mainline, you know, mainstream cruise line. Can we all travel on a G-Adventures National Geographic family itinerary?
Yeah.
We all enjoy it?
I think, well, yeah, you know, because it's that National Geographic line, it's always going to be that upgraded level. Remember, we're shooting for 4-star. And, you know, when you're in Johannesburg or when you're in Kruger National Park, there's not a whole, you know, lot of variation in those accommodations. And while, you know, there might be a luxury tented camp and then there's a 4-star tented camp, the variation there isn't super high. But we've taken into account that the people that, you know, were really looking to go on these trips with us aren't the people who are looking for camping with no electricity, right? So again, it's all about softer landing and making these trips accessible. And if you ever do have questions about where we're staying specifically, we publish that information. So speak to your agents here at Outlander Travel, and they're able to answer those questions for you about exactly what the accommodations look like, exactly how we're going to be traveling from place to place, the number of hours we're going to be spending, you know, say traveling by plane or by car. It's really designed, again, to simplify the experiential adventure travel and open it up to a broader audience. So I think the answer to your question is absolutely yes. Anybody who is, you know, prepared to travel to some of these far-flung destinations can get there affordably with G-Adventures and National Geographic, both the standard and the family journeys.
So I have a question kind of leaping into the itineraries. What is your favorite itinerary for this?
Of the families one.
Of the family journeys, you know, I think there's a, well, first of all, you know, I think they're all pretty fantastic. But my biggest thing, and I think the biggest thing that's attractive about these itineraries is the affordability to some degree. And we know that when we're talking about families, particularly in the North American market, they don't always have 2 weeks to go and spend on these travel experiences. So there's this ratio of affordability and, you know, the number of days that we can take off and how long we have to travel. But I would say that if we have 2 weeks, the Southeast Asia one is pretty darn unbeatable. The standard price point there, kind of at the lowest end of the month that we're operating them in, is right around $23.99 a person. And that trip lasts 15 days. It visits the coast, the Hala Bay area in Vietnam. It shoots down the coast. It goes to Hue and Hoi An, and then it kind of circles around the Mekong region and ends up in Siem Reap. And just the number of different places that you're exposed to there, and you know, the different kind of microcultures and, you know, interactive experiences that we can have on that trip, you know, for that price point and with the exposure that we'll get with National Geographic, is pretty darn unbeatable.
So in talking about that itinerary, I'm really curious. You talked about food earlier, and you know, you found restaurants that'll serve grilled cheese and chicken nuggets, but mom and dad can still have an authentic Vietnamese meal on that trip, correct?
Exactly. That's the key, right? Is that we don't want to limit anybody. And that's why, you know, if you look at one of our itineraries, all the meals aren't going to be included. I mean, especially the dinners, you know, they're not going to be prefixed menus because we don't want to limit people in what they're able to order, you know, when we all go out to a restaurant as a group. We want people, you know, if they want to sit down and order whatever the Vietnamese version of filet mignon is, if they would like the banh mi sandwich for $3, that's totally fine as well. So exactly, you know, we travel with our stomachs first and foremost on so many levels, and we would never want to limit somebody in what they're able to experience or connect with a given culture with that. But when, you know, those food restrictions or you know, those tastes do come into play, we're prepared for that. And we want to be able to have those options for picky eaters.
So I want to dig deep into one of the itineraries, and I warned you which one it was going to be because it's the one I want to go on. So let's, can you talk a little bit about the Japan itinerary that you have? There, one of your competitors just announced a Japan itinerary, which I will just say out loud is very similar to your itinerary, but at a very different price point. So can you talk about some of the things that would appeal both to adults and to children and to adults who are still children?
Exactly. Yeah. And the trip that you're talking about is Japan. And I think that's a really great option because when a lot of people think G Adventures or, you know, National Geographic to some degree, I think there's a lot of, you know, jumping straight to the developing world, right? To your Vietnams, your Southeast Asia, Central America, you know, Morocco, Peru, et cetera. But, you know, those aren't the only places where this philosophy really comes into play. So Japan is a great example. And if we're talking about those competitors, again, the way that they're going to set up their trip is they're going to take, this is where we're going to go. This is what we want to experience. Now, for every of these destinations, let's pick the most exclusive, the most expensive, the most five-star version of whatever that is, and that's going to be our trip. And what we've realized is that that's not necessarily what people are looking for when they travel to Japan as a family. So if we look at our, you know, G Adventures, National Geographic family Japan trip, and we can kind of go down day by day and look at the accommodations and, you know, how we're going to be spending our time. And, you know, it's not the five-star version of everything, but it's perfectly adequate, it's comfortable, and it's designed to take into account the overall experience of how we interact with this country and how it makes us feel. A big one on this trip, particularly with, you know, this is something that we're really going to see in developed countries like Japan. You know, we're going to use some public transportation on this trip, right? We're going to incorporate that incredible transportation system that Japan has. Not because, you know, we're trying to cut costs and we're trying to make this trip affordable, even though it has that effect, but because if you go to Japan and you don't experience what it's like to travel on a Japanese bullet train, then have you really gone to Japan, right? We want you to go and have these experiences because that's what it's really like to go and visit these places. So we can go through the list and we can go through, you know, all of the accommodation, but I think we kind of covered that. I think the really interesting thing that this itinerary brings up is how we've incorporated some of those specific National Geographic themes into our itineraries. So those themes are, you know, photography and storytelling, history and culture, wildlife, and then exploration. And so when we think of Japan, you know, there might be some wildlife experiences there, but that's something that's really more reserved for maybe some of our safari experiences. But when we talk about photography and storytelling or history and culture, I mean, that's where National Geographic hits its stride in Japan. And this is, again, where that organization has taken on so much responsibility in defining these experiences. And the idea here is that we want to make these experiences just as accessible to someone who's 9 years old as someone who's 16 years old, which is a very difficult thing to do. So if we talk about our history and culture and some of the activities that harken there, with regard to the Japan itinerary, the two biggest examples are our traditional taiko drumming class and our traditional samurai sword training class. And, you know, while those things might seem like they, you know, might be more applicable to one age group versus another, the idea is that, you know, whether someone's 7 years old and wants to just go and kind of bang on a drum and have a great time, or someone's 16 years old and they want to get really into the culture and the technique and the history of it, that experience is just as engaging and just as exciting and valuable regardless. And the same goes for the samurai sword training, right? Regardless of whether or not we have foam swords and we're kind of running around as younger children, or...
I was going to say, do you give seven-year-old samurai
swords? Exactly, yeah. And that's the thing. Obviously, no. But there's a way to engage them with that culture that, you know, puts them at ease or you know, makes it more applicable to that age group. And that's where we really get into the specifics of how we've chosen these activities. Does that make sense?
Totally. And okay. If there is an adult out there who does not get excited about the samurai sword class, I do not want to know that person.
Exactly. I mean, I just have this image of myself as a 10-year-old kid.
Exactly. And yeah, but except for I look 48, but I'm really a 10-year-old kid. No, and that is an experience. The samurai experience actually is interesting because that's one of the things that caught my eye in one of your competitors' itineraries. They do this as well. So you're actually offering some of the same experiences that some of your more expensive competitors are, just at a different price point. So it's very exciting. So I'm going to ask you kind of a sticky question, and if it's really ugly, we can edit it out. But we've talked about Japan, and I believe the itinerary, and I'm not looking at it right now, at least touches on Hiroshima. And then you talked about the Southeast Asia. Are you taking children to the killing fields? Are you taking them to these places? And how are you handling that? And if you don't know yet, we can definitely cut this question out, but I'm curious.
Well, actually, no. You know, one of the cool things about our National Geographic family itineraries is that because we were so more concerned about travel times, you're going to see so many more flights in these experiences. So this trip actually does not visit Phnom Penh and, you know, that traditional killing fields experience. Flies actually directly from Saigon to Siem Reap, where Angkor Wat is. So, you know, that is a bit of a tricky topic, and that's not something that we're going to want to take, you know, a group of seven-year-olds to. So that's a perfect example of how we may have omitted something from the family journeys that, while it's an important part of the region and the culture, not necessarily appropriate for all ages.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I mean, it's important, but... seven-year-old. So yeah. I kind of wanted to at least touch on that so people aren't thinking, what are we doing? What is this itinerary going to do? So it sounds like you're taking that subject sort of out for possible discussion, but not putting it right in their faces.
Exactly. And the parallel there would be, you know, one experience that is possible there on that trip would be the Cuchi Channels experience in Ho Chi Minh City, which, you know, relates back to the Vietnam War and the history there. And that's one of the things that's so beneficial about the way these trips are designed. They all have two tour leaders on them. So, you know, if ever one portion of the group or, you know, maybe mom wants to not take their seven-year-olds to go and have this, you know, sort of heavy Vietnam War experience, you know, there's another tour leader who can stay back, you know, perhaps organize something that's a little bit softer or, you know, more relaxing in town while, you know, older children or perhaps, you know, the adults who are interested are able to go and have these experiences. So we take that into account and we have that flexibility in the itineraries as well.
So this is a question that's not really about the itineraries, but if you have, say you have a family who has like young adult kids, but there's nobody under like 18, can they still do this kind of trip, or is there do you have to have a child with you kind of thing?
Yeah, no, that's an important question. And it gets back again to the small group aspect of these trips. You look at some of our competitors and you know, some of their groups go up in size to, you know, even 40 at some point. All of these National Geographic itineraries are maxed out at 20 individuals, which is huge actually for a G Adventures group. And that's why we incorporate the second tour leader. But one of the reasons is that we want to make sure that all of the people traveling on this trip are there, you know, for the same reasons, right? It would be very difficult if, you know, we kind of had to work around these family, not restrictions, but, you know, needs when you're traveling for somebody who's not traveling with children. So the rule is you can take as many people on these trips as you want to, but at least one of the individuals going on the trip has to be under the age of 18. Okay.
So you can bring the grandparents and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
I just want to say again, your competitors might have 40 people on a trip with two tour guides. You have 20, maximum of 20 people with two tour guides. Your maximum ratio is 10 to 1.
Exactly. And, you know, if we're talking about things that separate us from our competitors, all of trips, I mean, obviously all of these family journeys and everything that we do with National Geographic, but actually all of our trips at G-Adventures that are escorted trips are 100% guaranteed departures. So even now, 18 months out, you can book three people onto a National Geographic family journey and you know with confidence that unless an act of God forces us to alter that itinerary or cancel a trip, that trip will operate as scheduled on the day. So book your flights now. You know, even if your three-person family is the only people on this trip, you know that that trip will operate as scheduled.
So are these seasonal? I mean, I'm assuming they don't run January to December. Is it really just summer months? Do you do some spring break, some fall break? What's the time frame?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it really is like everything that we do destination specific, right? We're not going to be visiting Yellowstone in January because it's closed because of snow. but we, you know, we definitely take into account the months that children are more applicable to be traveling in. So spring break is something that we kind of account for. Obviously, there's a bunch of itineraries that are peppered throughout the North American summer. But again, because G-Adventures is a global company and we operate just as exclusive or just as extensively in places like Australia or Europe or the UK or Canada as we do in the United States, we have to kind of spread these out to make sure that we're, you know, allowing all of those different cultures, you know, to travel during the time that those children are able to travel. But that's a really interesting thing as well, because, you know, it's not just going to be like, again, maybe one of our competitors where the vast majority of people or almost all of the people on the trip are going to be Americans just like you. You might go on this trip with your family of four and there's a family from Scandinavia on the trip and there's a family from Australia on the trip and there's a family from Ireland on the trip. And instead of just experiencing these destinations with people from the same background as you, you're almost getting this extra layer of cultural interaction of being able to, you know, see how other cultures experience these far-flung destinations as well. And obviously, you know, your kids are able to experience people who were just their age, but from a completely different background. So it's all about cultural interaction and kind of bringing it full circle and exposing ourselves and our families to as much of the world as we can.
Can I come with and be Aunt Lindsay?
English kids are about to age out of this, though. So I'm
you can come with you. You can be Aunt Sandy.
And everybody doesn't have to be from the same family either, right? I mean, you can.
And George can be Uncle George because he's
100%. You just have to find a kid, right? Somebody let you take their kid to Vietnam, and you can go.
Can you? I talked a little bit too about Costa Rica being one of your most popular. Can you tell us why that is and do a little info on that one?
Yeah, so, and you know, with G-Adventures as a whole, we really do operate extensively all over the place, but South and Central America are destinations, you know, one, because we're a North American company, those places are far more accessible, but we have a ton of success both in Costa Rica and Peru, which are both family National Geographic family journey destinations. And, you know, Peru is a place where we have so much infrastructure. I mean, at G, we have 89 different itineraries just in Peru. But Costa Rica, again, because it's so accessible, is another destination where we have a ton of ability and buying power. And our National Geographic family journey there is something that, you know, we're seeing sell quite well, especially as we move back into, you know, kind of the school year and people are making plans for next summer. And Costa Rica is a destination where that wildlife and, interaction with wildlife really comes into play. We visit the Monteverde Institute. We interact with National Geographic experts in regard to that wildlife. And the great thing about these kind of jungle or wildlife experiences is that whether you're 18 or 8 or 80, you know, animals are just as exciting. So, you know, it's one destination where we kind of get a more of the sort of quote National Geographic animal and photography experience. But also it's really, really accessible to the North American market. I mean, you know, you can, if you're traveling on the right dates, you can find trips to, you know, flights to Costa Rica for less than $200 a person if you're planning it right. And again, you know, I know that there's a big competitor out there that we're competing with on this. And I would encourage folks, line up the two itineraries, right? Look at them on a map, look how they're defined. And you'll see that G Adventures is choosing to go to many of the same places, just in a different way. Whereas our competitors might go to the most developed, kind of most secluded, most exclusive resorts in Costa Rica, we're going down to the local beach, right? We're going to stay at this little boutique property that's on a little bit of a, you know, a more accessible level, but it also connects and contributes so much more to the local economies than some of the places in, say, you know, Peninsula Papagayo or any of these, you know, destinations that we can all think of off the top of our heads. And that's just something that, again, if the objective is to, you know, connect our children and our families with the world, you know, that's not something they're going to find at a 5-star resort with a security gate and, you know, all of these other, you know, security measures. But what they really do is they just disconnect, you know, the people who stay there from the destination that they're visiting, which is something that we don't ever like to do on our experiences.
And you've talked about a lot of exotics. You've said words like Morocco and Costa Rica and Southeast Asia and Japan, but you're also doing Europe a little bit too. So for the family who wants to do the Europe trip, that's also an option with you, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. We do them in both France and Italy. And obviously there's, you know, we can all name the iconic destinations that we want to go and visit there. And, you know, they're peppered with these little, you know, experiences or activities that are designed for children, but it's not just Europe. I mean, we're operating them in the United States as well. And as someone who's spent a lot of time kind of guiding and, you know, spending time in our natural spaces and our national parks here in the U.S., both the Alaska itinerary and the Yellowstone Grand Teton itinerary are super valuable. I mean, that Yellowstone.
Like Alaska.
Sandy is so excited right now. Like, I did. I mentioned that Sandy will camp, but I do think Sandy secretly likes not camping. Just
oh
as
yeah,
much
I
as
mean,
I
like
do.
I don't have to camp. I'm gonna save my bag. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly, and you know, I mean, Alaska. You know, you can always pop that onto the end of a cruise if you want as well, if you've got enough time to travel. Yeah. But what I was going to say is that Grand Teton Yellowstone itinerary, I think there's such a hesitancy when we're doing guided or escorted experiences in those national parks to kind of dip in for, you know, 2 days or so, 2 or 3 days, and then kind of, you know, hit the high points and dip out. And this is 8 full days split just between Grand Tetons and Yellowstone. And again, if you compare that to some of the other operators out there at the same price point, you know, with a family escorted focus, there's not going to be anybody who comes close to the extensiveness with which we experience those destinations and our expertise and what we're able to go and see there. So, you know, even if some of these far-flung destinations, you know, aren't necessarily an option, you know, you can have these experiences and get just as much out of it for your family in the United States as well.
So right now for the U.S., is it just Yellowstone or are you also doing the Southwest parks like Grand Canyon?
We're not doing the Southwest parks on the National Geographic Family Journeys line yet, but we do operate extensively kind of all over the U.S., even on the East Coast with some of our other travel styles. And then with National Geographic, I guess, standard or the product designed for adults, we're doing a 2-week Southwest trip as well, you know, in and out of Las Vegas and a lot of the kind of canyon lands, you know, Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon, Zion, Capitol Reef, a lot of these places. And then in California as well, we'll go to Sequoia and Kings Canyon and Yosemite. And then we also go and have a behind the scenes experience at the Monterey Bay Aquarium and in San Francisco. But at this point, that trip is just for those over the age of 12. So it's our standard National Geographic itinerary.
And I was just about to ask that question. So for National Geographic, for G Adventures in general, minimum age is 12?
Yes. So here's the thing about G Adventures. We have 836 unique itineraries across 10 unique travel styles. So it's impossible to talk in complete absolutes about anything that we do. But generally speaking, yes, if you know a minor is accompanied by a parent or a guardian, once they reach the age of 12, the vast majority of our trips are accessible for those individuals as well.
I just traveled with my 13-year-old and he completely out-hiked me. So that sucked.
That is our show for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. A huge special thanks to Tim for joining us this week. On behalf of Elizabeth, George, Sandy, and myself, Lindsay, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.